everyone. Welcome to the next installment of the DCP Internship Podcast. Today, I want to talk a little bit about the specific roles that I'm hoping to get and why, and some of the roles that I'm probably going to put no interest in and why I'm going to do that. It is currently July 30th, so we are only a couple days away from the month of August, which is when we all think that spring applications are going to drop. And the closer and closer this date comes, ooh, I'm so excited, but I'm also so anxious. Everybody is saying that on the Facebook groups, but like, it's a real thing. Like, I probably think about the college program once or twice an hour, and then it just a shock of nerves comes through me every day. Every day. Like, I just want it to start so it can end either way, you know, positive or negative. Like, I'm done waiting. Ooh. I'm also currently subscribing to a couple of the Facebook groups for the fall program. And so these people are currently getting their itineraries and are going to be moving in the next week or two. And so I'm watching all of those people get to figure out where they're working and where they're going to live. And I am so jealous because some of the places that these people are working are so amazing. And I want that to be me, you know, like I'm ready for that. I should probably just unsubscribe because it's probably unhealthy for me to watch. But they also have a lot of good tips, and I want to hear a lot about what the intake process is like, so I'm going to secretly watch them while I'm applying. Anyway, enough of that crap. Let's talk about roles. So since I've never actually done any of these roles, this bear in mind, I have done a lot of research and watched a lot of videos from alumni and read a lot of things from the Facebook groups, and that is about all the experience I have with these, and I've also looked at the role actual descriptions that they have on the DCP website. So I'm not speaking from any firsthand experience. Some of the things that I might say might be a little outdated, depending on when the alumni that I learned from did their programs. But this is kind of an overview anyway, and things are always going to be constantly changing within the Disney College program and in the parks and resorts themselves. So I don't think you can really trust exactly what anybody says on it, because your experience is going to be different, you know, like that's just how it's going to be. Because if someone worked 1 year ago at the same attraction you're working at, well, there might be new leaders there or new management, and it might be completely different from when they worked there. So you just got to bear in mind that everything I say, you know, might not be totally spot on to your specific experience, because everyone's is different. So just because I say one thing on this podcast doesn't mean it's exactly what it's going to be like, okay? So don't come at me with anything, or you can come at me and I will just ignore you. Anyway, okay. So I think my top roles specifically differ depending on location. So my top role would be attractions, but for very specific attractions. So at Disneyland, it would be the Matterhorn or the Haunted Mansion. Those would be my top picks. For either of the parks, Pirates of the Caribbean or Space Mountain, top picks. For Walt Disney World specifically, it would be Spaceship Earth, The People Mover, and the Tower of Terror. So I would take any of those attractions over any other role at all. That's it. That's my top. But it's very hard to really get a specific attraction you want. One, because sometimes they don't take DCP participants, and two, all of the attractions I just talked about were Haunted Mansion is a cult classic. Tower of Terror, everybody loves that. Who doesn't like Pirates of the Caribbean? Like, everyone's going to be shooting for those. So the chance for me getting those is very slim, and I'm not really set on doing them because I just have a feeling that if that's what I go for, I'm going to be disappointed. So, but those are my top ones. Overall, though, I think if I get an acceptance in general, I would be most excited to see the word custodial in my role, because that way I know that I'm going to be doing something that I like. Because I could get attractions and end up like in the parking lots, that's part of attractions, or I could end up at like Dumbo, and like, cool, Dumbo, but that's not, like, there's, how many stations are there for Dumbo? Like two? I can't. That would be stressful. Can you imagine getting attractions and then having to wait 4 months to figure out what actual attraction you're going to be working at? Crazy. Okay. Anyway, custodial, I think I'm most excited for. And I know a lot of people are very afraid of custodial because of the different types of ooey gooey stuff you'd have to be cleaning up from people that, yuck. Anyway, but the reality that I've heard from a lot of the different alumni that I've listened to is that most of the time you're not really cleaning up vomit or fecal matter or gross stuff. Like, that just doesn't happen as often as a lot of people think it does. I watched a video from one girl who was a custodian in Epcot World Showcase, and she worked food and wine, and you can just imagine, you would think that that would be the time where there would be the most code Vs. Code Vs being, you gotta clean up some vomit. But apparently she only cleaned up one. So really, that's not, I mean, that's like 5 minutes out of your day, you know, you can get past that. So I didn't know this until I did extra research on it, but for custodial, you can either work at a park or a resort. So there are custodial roles in the parks, and the types of shifts you can have are totally different from the shifts you have in a park. So this was information I had no idea about until like yesterday. So I found a girl who did the spring of 2017 program, and she worked custodial at Port Orleans. She worked shifts at both Riverside and French Quarter. And apparently for resort custodians, there are four different types of shifts that you could get. So, and this is specific for her at Port Orleans. So she had four different types of shifts. This might be different for other, you know, other hotels, or maybe different tiered hotels. Value might be different from deluxe. You know, who knows? This is just what she was talking about. So for her, she had four different shifts. It was called pools and pick. Second one, main pool. Third one, lobby. Fourth one, trash. So for pools and pick shifts, she talked about how she cleaned the pool decks for the smaller pools, the ones that didn't have lifeguards, because most Disney resorts have more than one pool. She would pick up towels and return them to where they needed to go. There was one set kind of laundry area that you would take them and dump them in. And she would also clean the laundry rooms. For the main pool shifts, she said this was the most stressful because the main pool is pretty much always packed with people because it has the most theming and like water slides and a lot of things like that. So that would be the most stressful shift for her. And you would clean the pool deck, pick up the towels, and make sure that the whole area was clean. But it was just more high-paced, she said, than the other shifts because of how many people there were on a daily basis, you know, mucking up the place. The third type of shift was trash, and this is pretty much exactly what it sounds like. So apparently she got a little, kind of like a golf cart vehicle with a giant trash can thing on the back, and she would go around to make sure all the trash cans were empty. And the last shift is lobby, and this was making sure that the lobby was clean and the trash cans were empty there, and then you would also clean the bathrooms in the lobbies. So think of that as like a bathroom shift for a park custodian. Those would be when you clean the bathrooms. She would also clean, this girl specifically, the arcade, which is located in the Port Orleans lobby. But I'm thinking that's a specific cleaning area for that resort because Port Orleans had an arcade. Not every resort has an arcade, but that also means that probably every resort has specific things that you're going to be cleaning compared to other ones because, you know, they have different amenities that are available at each resort. And depending on where you work, those amenities will be there that will need to be cleaned. So when I first learned about resort custodial from this girl, when I clicked on the video and I saw that there was resort custodial, I was kind of upset because I thought that custodial was like one of the one roles that once you got it, you would think, okay, I'm definitely in a park. You know, that's what I want. I'm going to be in a park. But this girl, she seemed to really love her role and was adamant about the fact that the role was just as amazing as a custodial role in the parks. So she did say it lacked like a little spark of Disney magic, you know, because I mean, for me, I've been to the hotels and I've been to the parks, and there's obviously a shift in how it's like to feel, you know, like completely immersed in the Disney magic. But because custodial is a universal role, she was able to take shifts in the park. So she was able to do resort custodial and park custodial, which is very cool. But she said that the resort custodial shifts were so much more relaxed than the custodial is in the parks. And I'm guessing that that pretty much just has to do with how many people are going to be running through the place, you know, asking questions, you know, losing things, needing help. Trash pickup, I'm sure, is much worse in the parks because of just how many people are walking through and eating. So she said that after her program, she was glad to have a resort role because it was more relaxed. So that's what I learned about resort custodial. And that's pretty cool. I was very surprised that it actually existed, and it does seem kind of nice. She said she had a lot of longer conversations with guests as opposed to shorter ones that you have in the parks because everyone's hustling and bustling. So I thought that was very interesting. So let's talk about custodial in the park now. So there are two main shifts you can get in the parks, and that is streets and bathrooms. Bathrooms, you are assigned to a couple of bathrooms within a certain park area. That's kind of like the lobby shift where you would get the bathrooms in the lobby. You're going to get the bathrooms in the park, and you are required to clean these bathrooms every certain amount of time. I think usually it's like once an hour they're cleaned. They're cleaned a lot. So you're required to clean certain bathrooms, and they need to maintain the standards of cleanliness that are needed. And then if your bathrooms are clean and you've done them all in a good amount of time, then you are able to go help out in the streets for a little bit and, you know, use your broom and mop and help guests who need help. So custodial street shifts are basically exactly what they sound like. You need to keep the streets and walkways of the park clean. You are responsible for the trash pickup for that in a certain area. And a lot of the times for trash pickups, you use large rolling bins to gather the trash bags and then take them to where they put the trash. I'm not exactly where. I think for every park, it's different, you know, and for every portion of the park where you're working, that's also different. So I can't specify exactly where it has to go. It depends on where you work. A lot of the times during the street shifts, you'll be cleaning up things on the ground, like a lot of popcorn, I'm sure, a whole bunch of popcorn, loose trash, you know, spilled soda pops, ice creams that are melted, things like that to keep the ground clean. A lot of the times you get to interact a bunch with guests during this one too, because you're literally out in the walkways with them the entire time. And when they see you, they know that you are a cast member and you're right there for them to ask and answer questions. So you're going to get a whole bunch of guest interaction. So the locations for custodial are cut up depending on park areas. So I know for the Magic Kingdom, they're split up by land. So like Fantasyland and Adventureland and Main Street. So the girl who was in Epcot, she worked in World Showcase. And World Showcase is split up into East and West World Showcase. So she worked, I think it was West. It's the Canada side. She worked the Canada side. So she worked like half of World Showcase most of the time. And I think she was placed on the other side a couple of times. But for the most part, you're going to have one home location where you're always working. Again, that's only like her experience, so I don't know for sure. But that's what she said that happened to her. So a great thing about custodial, as I said earlier, is that it's a universal working role. So you could pick up shifts in any park you'd like. And that's really cool. A lot of people try with universal roles to work in each park throughout their entire program. I don't know what it's like for resorts versus parks. The one girl talked that she was able to go from working at the resorts to working at the parks, but she already had experience with trash, and she already had experience with working in bathrooms from the resort. But say you are a custodian in the park, I don't know how much experience you would have cleaning like the lobby or cleaning the pool areas and knowing exactly where everything is, because the resorts are so different. So I don't know exactly how it is for park custodians to go to resorts, but I do know that resort custodians can pick up shifts in the park. So here are the perks for custodial in a short for why I'm really interested in doing it. You're universally trained, so you can pick up shifts in other parks and other locations. Also, you have a lot of freedom because there are no... You work by yourself. It's an individual role. There aren't two or three custodians walking around all the time. That's just not how it works. There's one person, and a lot of the times there's like a girl for the women's restrooms and then a boy custodian for the boys' restrooms. Boom. And there's two of you. But you're working by yourself. There are going to be supervisors and leaders around, because their offices are kind of near where you're located, and they're going to be milling around, but it's not like they're going to be constantly watching everything you do. So that would be really nice to have freedom and individuality and be able to be responsible for something. Like, you clean that part of the park, that park is clean because of you. Like, that would really give me a sense of accomplishment and value. Seeing that, like, a certain park of a Disney park, like, wow, I cleaned, you know, Africa for Animal Kingdom, all me. I did that. Not you. I did. You know, that'd be great. So there are also a lot of coworker cast member bonds. That is what all the custodians who are alumni have talked about, even though you don't see them a lot, but you're in the same location. So I'm pretty sure you're going to bump into them all the time and you're going to be in the same break room. So it's not like you're going to be so individual that you're not going to see anybody, but I don't know. I just like the idea of kind of being by yourself and doing it on your own. But that's just me specifically. Other people might go bored not having anyone to talk to the whole day, but that's just something I would like. So one last specific perk for custodial that is not possible for any other role is the water art. So if you haven't seen this, you can become certified and you can use your broom to draw Disney characters onto the cement with water. And guests love this. They come and watch when the custodians draw these things and it's amazing magical guest interaction. And oh, I would love that. But you have to be specifically trained for you to be able to do it on stage. And they hold trainings for this. I think I've heard a lot of issues where all of the DCP cast members who want to do these trainings, they're always working during them. So it's kind of hard to schedule yourself around it. But if you can get there and get trained and you can pass, it would be so magical to do that for people. That'd be really cool. The costumes for custodial are fully white. So they are not very special or specifically magical, which I know a lot of people like really want super cute or super fun costumes, and I do too. But I know that the custodial people seem to really like them because they're light. You know, because it's white, you're not soaking in all the sun. And that would be so nice. Like, I can't imagine standing in the Florida heat for hours and hours and hours in something that's dark or black. So I think having something white and light and airy would be really nice. And if you're picking up shifts in other locations, you probably won't need to get entirely new costumes for each shift. A lot of people in merchandise who hop from location to location, they need to get new costumes depending on where they are. But custodial, no matter where you're working in the parks, it's always white. So you'd save a lot of stress for having to change your costume all the time. So how am I going to talk this roll up to my recruiter in my phone interview? I've thought about it a little bit. I'm definitely going to focus on the experience I've had at working at the daycare that I'm currently at and cleaning up, you know, the gross messes. You know, they're kids. They're ages 2 to 5. You know, they're going to poop their pants. They're going to spill stuff. It happens a lot, and I've definitely cleaned up my fair share. I also have worked with bleach and other chemicals at this job because we have sanitation standards, and I've done specific janitorial shifts for this daycare job, and literally all I did was clean the entire, you know, all the classrooms. So I have a lot of experience with cleaning, and I'm definitely going to talk about that if they bring up why I put high interest on custodial. I also have experience working individually. At a storage company, I was a secretary, and I was responsible for all the paperwork. So I'm definitely going to talk to my recruiter about how I was responsible for a certain portion of the job, and I was in charge of making sure everything got done in a timely manner, and that was all on me. So I know how to be individually responsible for my own work. So that's why I'm interested in custodial. I think it would be so fun to be able to be a little free and walk around the parks and talk to people. And I also just generally enjoy cleaning. Like, I like to jam out to my tunes and clean up my living room. So, you know, I could do that. I could do that. And it would probably go by so fast because you get to walk around and there's probably constantly stuff you need to clean up. So that's my number one. I'm there for that. I'm there to clean for everybody. So moving on to attractions, another role that you know I'm very interested in having. So one of the biggest downfalls, specifically for attractions, that kind of bums me out is that you're not universally trained. So when you're not universally trained, that means you can't really pick up shifts anywhere else. And people who are trained in attractions are trained for their specific locations. Sometimes you might work at one or two rides in a really similar area. Like, I know of one girl I watched a video on, she worked at Pirates of the Caribbean at Disney World, and then she got cross-trained at Jungle Cruise. They're very close to each other, and so that's a possibility, but you really kind of have to work there for a longer period of time to get that cross-training, and most of the time, you're at one location for the entire length of the program, And so then you can't trade shifts with anybody who doesn't work at that attraction, because nobody else can pick up your shifts, and you can't work anywhere else in attractions because you're not trained for any other attraction than the one you're at. That really kind of sucks. You know, I would love to be able to move around and work in different parks and areas, but like, if you love the attraction that you're at, then it should be fine, you know, and we're only there for, what, 5 months, so it's not like you really need that much variety. A giant upside to this role, I mean, I talked about it earlier, you could be working at one of your favorite attractions. Oh my gosh, I can't even talk about it. It would be like a dream to me. Ugh. The girl I watched a video on who did Pirates of the Caribbean, she was talking about her time there, and she was literally tearing up because she had such a magical time. And I, the last time I went to Disneyland was last December, and I hadn't been there for 3 years. And the first ride we rode on was the Matterhorn. And that is like, I don't know why. I just love Harold, and I love the mountain, and I love roller coasters, and it's just the perfect thing for me. And I cried all the way down the ride, like, started on the chain lift, I just started crying. I was just, it's like my happy place. So I would probably cry on my way to work every day if I worked at the Matterhorn. So since these roles are so specific to certain attractions, I can't really talk about as broad of role specifics as I could for custodial. But for every attraction, there's going to be certain stations which each cast member is trained on. So throughout the day, there are shift changes, and they use something, Disney uses it, called the cast deployment system. And so when you go to work, you go to the system and it prints a receipt and tells you where to go in the attraction, where you're going to be, you know, stationed for that amount of time. And then you can shift from one location within the ride to the other. And everyone else who's working there are also getting receipts, and sometimes they will come and cover for you to take breaks, or sometimes they will tell you to go to the next spot in the rotation. So say you worked at the Matterhorn and you worked as greeter for an hour in the front by the fast passes, and then you got switched to merge for another hour, and then you could get switched to unload and offload, you know, another hour after that, something like that. So if you work in an attraction, you're going to be working at every station that attraction offers at one time or another. I do know a lot of people who work in attractions, and by people who I know, I mean people who I've watched videos on, so I don't really know them, but I've heard their stories. But they said that the CVS system can spit out the exact same role for you, like the same station, over and over and over and over again. So you may end up working at one specific, you know, rotation location all day long or for a large part of the day. And that can get super boring for them. Like, say if you are working at the merge, like all you're doing is stopping people and then pulling people from the fast pass line and then stopping them and pulling them from the, like, and it's just a never ending. That's why they shift so much, I think, is because it can get so boring. So that can be that. Oof. Yeah, that probably wouldn't be very fun, but it's only for a certain amount of time, and I'm sure you'll get shifted, you know, and it'll be okay. You obviously do get a lot of guest interaction in attractions because you are obviously around them the entire time, like either from the start of the attraction or when they're getting on the ride or when they're getting off the ride. Like, that's why you're there. You're there for the guests to help them get in line, get on the ride, get off the ride as fast as freaking possible, you know? So you're going to be working with them all the time. So the specifics from the Pirates of the Caribbean YouTuber, her name is Princess Erin. She was super helpful. You can look her up. She also did a different video on Jungle Cruise because she worked as a skipper. I didn't watch that one, but you guys totally could. So one thing that I really loved about her specific experience is that she got, I mean, and everyone who works at Pirates, you get to dress in like a Pirates outfit every day. And she said that there was a big hat they could wear and like a sword. And that is just, that would be so fun. Who wouldn't want to dress up as a pirate every day and go get paid? And you could have so much fun with the kids in line who actually think you're a pirate. Oh, the thing is that, you know, that's specific to Pirates of the Caribbean. You know, you could work at any other ride and your outfit is going to be different, you know. I think a lot of the kiddier rides, say like Goofy's Barnstormer or Dumbo, you know, rides like that, your work attire isn't going to be as themed as that. I think Pirates is one of the most themed attraction outfits that you can have. So it would be really cool to work at an attraction that has a really dope costume. Like, another thing that really caught my attention about her work experience is that pirates would break down all the time, so they'd have to evacuate the guests from the boats. And I didn't know this until I watched this video, but when they evacuate people from Pirates of the Caribbean, like, the cast members put on waders, like big boots and shorts, and actually get in the Pirates of the Caribbean water and push the boats. What? They get to walk in the Pirates of the Caribbean water and push the boats? I'll do that. I would get in that water and push those boats any freaking day. That's an experience that would be pretty much unforgettable. And it would be amazing for pretty much any ride, you know, that breaks down and that you have to go inside the ride to help people. That would be so cool. Like, if Splash Mountain breaks down and there's a log at the top of the big hill, like, you're going to have to walk behind the scenes up the big hill, up the stairs to get to those people. That would just be so cool. Or if you worked at Space Mountain and that broke down, you'd get to see Space Mountain with the lights on and probably walk along the tracks to reach the ride vehicles on the paths that are next to the tracks. That would be so cool. That is something that I really like about attractions, is that you're going to see some stuff that nobody else, like, rarely ever gets to see, you know? This girl from Pirates, Erin, she did say that she had a lot of unhappy guest experiences because of these evacuations. And a lot of what stresses people out while they're at Disney is the rides, like the wait time and fast passes and making sure they get everything done in time. And I can imagine being frustrated if you have a fast pass or you need to get somewhere and you're stuck on a ride for a certain amount of time. So people would get really frustrated at her while she's trying to help them evacuate. And I can see how there would be a lot of negative interactions there. But, you know, it is really hard to handle people when they're upset for, like, something you can't control, you know? She also talked about people who would, like, come to the ride and their fast pass would be expired, but, like, 5 hours expired. Like, they didn't just miss it. They just totally, they had a fast pass at 10 a.m. and they came at 6. And they were like, what do you mean I can't use this fast pass? So you also have to work with a lot of stupid people, you know? But that's just part of attractions. That's just how it is. I think that would also make the workday super interesting, you know? So from what I've gathered from attractions, it can be super exciting, but it can also be super monotonous if you get stuck at the same position. You get a lot of guest interaction, positive and negative, and you get to see a whole bunch of behind the scenes for the attraction you're working on. I'm very interested in attractions because I can't not take the chance of being able to work at one of my favorite ones. Like, in the phone interview, I'm definitely going to talk about how I'd love to work Disneyland specifically in New Orleans Square or Critter Country. I love, you know, Pirates of the Caribbean, Haunted Mansion, Splash Mountain, Winnie the Pooh. I love all those rides. I would be up to work any of them. So I'm going to say that broad spectrum and then pray to God. So to talk up attractions and the phone interview for why I think I'm qualified for it, I'm going to talk about how my preschool job, we were very safety oriented. I have experience with helping the children through the safety evacuation drills. We would have fire drills and our alarms would go off and we would have to take them out and line them up. I also have experience loading children in and out of vans in a timely manner for field trips. One I just did today and it was painful, to say the least. It was 8 hours of pain. But I feel like loading small children in and out of vans would probably be similar to, you know, loading people on and off ride vehicles. I'm hoping they see the connection there. I also hope to talk about how efficient I am at all these tasks, because for Disney, it is really important in attractions for the maximum amount of people to get through the ride lines as quickly as possible, because so many people are in the parks and want to get through these lines that it's really important that they have the best experience possible. So attractions cast members have to be really efficient at their jobs. The last role that I'm very interested in is merchandising. And there is one reason in particular why I'm so interested. It's because it's a universal role. And so you're allowed to pick up shifts pretty much anywhere else in the park or even in the resorts, as long as there aren't specific trainings you need for those locations. So some, like the confectionery on Main Street, they sell food, and so you have to be trained in food safety to work there. So you can't work in every merchandising role, but most of them. And along with merchandising roles come a myriad of different costumes, which that would be so fun. A lot of people do merchandise just to move around and wear a lot of different clothes. And that can seem pretty pathetic, but I also think that, like, working in different places would keep your work life, like, so different. You would have such a variety of different experiences and people you're working with and locations that I think the days would go faster because it wouldn't be the same thing over and over and over again because you'd be working in different places. You know, not always. You're always going to have a home location and that's where all your shifts are going to get placed. But you can use, there are Facebook groups specifically for merchandise cast members, and you can put your shifts on there and ask to trade with people, and if they accept, then boom, you get to work somewhere else instead of working at your home location. So that's really cool. It might seem scary to work a shift somewhere that you've never worked before. I listened to one girl who did merchandising and did the exact thing. She bounced around everywhere she possibly could, and she said that whenever you go to a new location, you simply need to talk to the leader or the manager there, and they make sure that you're in the system so you can use the registers, and then they give you a tour of that specific facility and answer any of the questions you could have so that you know the ins and outs of that location. They also tell you, like, frequently asked questions, like where is the nearest bathroom, that they let you know where that is. Like, say you're working in Adventureland and people come up and they're like, where is the Jungle Cruise? You should be able to know where the Jungle Cruise is from where you're working, so they will let you know all of that detail before you actually start. I don't have any specific experience with, like, merchandising for me to say that I'm, you know, experienced in that for my phone interview. So I'm not as applicable to this role as I would be in the other two that I've talked about. In the interview, if they ask about it, I'll probably talk about I've worked in storerooms at the moving company and the daycare. We both have stock rooms that we get stuff from when we need things, and I've worked with moving a lot of heavy items back and forth, so I would talk about that because there are stocking shifts you can have where you just pretty much go to the stock room, and if the store is low on something, you go and get it and put it on the shelves. And then if you're not stocking, you're pretty much working at the registers. I mean, it's simple enough. It's a store. We go into stores all the time. We know how people work when they work in stores. You're checking out the registers, you're stocking the store, helping guests, things like that. So those are the three roles that I'm most interested in. I am open to a lot of the other roles, and we'll be putting low to moderate interest on most of them, especially for Disneyland. There's only two roles that I'm going to put no interest in at Disneyland, and I'll talk about those in a second. So one of these roles is for Disneyland specific. This role is not at Disney World, so you can't have it there. Only at Disneyland. It's called the Disney Desk. So this role, you're working at a non-Disney resort in Anaheim in their lobby. And there's like a little station for you, and you sell Disney tickets and answer questions related to the Disneyland resort and, you know, answer questions about reservations and park times and things like that. But my big beef with that is because you're not on Disney property. There's no magic in the hotel you're working at because it's not a Disney hotel. It's a Good Neighbor hotel. It's not owned by Disney. The co-workers you're going to have aren't going to be cast members. They're going to be people who work at, like, the Marriott or the Best Western or even the Motel 6, because that's where you're going to be placed. You're not going to be put on Disney property. The last time I went to Disneyland, I personally stayed at the Motel 6 near Disneyland Resort because I'm broke and it was the cheapest hotel. So that's where I stayed. I specifically remember seeing the Disney desk in the Motel 6, and all I could think was that it was dingy and gross, and I didn't really even want to go over there. I mean, there was someone over there and they seemed nice, but, like, there was no magic there. And I just know that would not be the experience that I or probably most other college participants are looking for. So I'm going to put no interest on that because I know I wouldn't be happy and I would probably self-term if I was stuck doing that all day. That just sounds horrible. The other role for Disneyland Resort that I'm not, and this is also at Walt Disney World, I'm going to be putting no interest for vacation planner. I know there are a lot of people who actually do want this role, and if you're interested in that, that's super great. This isn't the type of thing that I want to be doing. You're usually behind a desk all day, A lot of times you're in the front of the parks at the ticket booth, so you're selling tickets for people who haven't, you know, don't have passes or haven't bought passes before arriving at the gates. After watching the official, you know, the Disney College program has videos for pretty much every role, and they're, you know, very stylized and kind of fake, but that's okay. And the video for the vacation planner role, the girl who was talking about her role said that there are specific quotas for the amount of tickets that they need to sell. And that's not really something I'm interested in doing. It kind of gave off the feeling that you need to coerce the guest, you know, to buying the most expensive tickets, the most elaborate ones. You know, not the tickets they were looking for, but the tickets you want them to buy because they're more expensive. And that, you know, I have no experience with vacation planner, and that might not be how it is at all. That's just how I felt watching that video. And that's just not something I think I would either be good at or feel very comfortable doing. So I'm just going to put no interest. There are a couple of roles on the Disneyland Resort specific side that I'm not really interested in doing, but I'm going to put interest on my application because I would rather work in California doing these roles than going to Disney World and working something else. If you want to hear a little bit more about why I'm leaning towards Disneyland as opposed to Disney World, I talked all about that in my last podcast episode and some of the other ones, the earlier ones. So if you want to hear more about that, go back and listen. So the one role that I'm not really keen on is cast and entertainment costuming. This is a behind the scenes role. You're not really on stage, so you're not really seeing guests or working in the parks or in the resorts because you're working with the costuming, and that happens offstage behind the scenes. You also don't really have any guest interaction because you're working with cast members who need their costumes as opposed to working with guests. From what I understand about these roles, you're working at the costume distribution centers, you know, helping the cast members make sure they have all the pieces of the costume they need and getting them when they need them. You also work with the commercial laundry machines to make sure the costumes are clean. One thing I would really, it would be cool to help cast members and talk to them about where they work, but I feel like watching cast members come in and handing them beautiful costumes and then watching them leave, and I would just have to know that they get to wear those beautiful costumes to work and I'm stuck, you know, not wearing one of those beautiful costumes. I'm cleaning them and then giving them to other cast members. Like, I would just be really jealous of all the things that they get to wear when I've seen the costumes for, they're kind of costumes. They're pretty much just a work uniform though. They're not really special for the costuming people. So that's not, I think I would just get really jealous, honestly. I would assume you do have the opportunity to make, you know, maybe magical moments for the cast members that you were helping and to help them have a good experience. But I don't see a lot of Disney magic coming through with that role specifically. I think the entertainment costuming might be a little different because that might be for the stage shows. So that would be probably more exciting than the cast costuming. But I don't, both of the role pages for those two were pretty much the same. So I don't, there wasn't a lot of specific differences that Disney gave for those role requirements. Another role that I don't see a lot of guest interaction or magic with is food prep. This is a Disneyland Resort only requirement, and it even specifically says on the website that it's a very low guest interaction to like none. Like, they up and tell you that you're not going to be seeing anybody, and I feel like making magic is a big reason why most of us decide to do the college program, because the magic is what we experienced as guests and what we want to, you know, give to the guests who are there. So food prep, you're pretty much just, you're prepping food. You're cutting, cooking, chopping, slicing, all of those things. Doing all the food and then not getting to see the guests that eat your food, you know? So the food prep, it'll differ depending on where you were located. I watched one video and it was from 2013 because it was the only food prep video I could find. And the girl was placed at the Carnation Cafe. And it sounded like she literally just, she just prepped food all day. And she didn't get to see anybody. And that just kind of, that sounds kind of sad. I think it would be okay for me, though, personally. I really like cooking. More baking. I'm an avid baker. But I do like to cook. So I don't think it would be the end of the world if I received this role. There are a couple of things kind of miscellaneous that I wanted to talk about after researching all these different roles. There are some things I learned that aren't role specific, but I think are kind of important to keep in mind when you're talking in your phone interview about what you want, or if you're creating your resume to show that you're ready for these certain roles. So here are some things I think everyone needs to know. So number one, and this is kind of obvious, but you really need to think about it. Different parks are open at different hours. So depending on your work location, not your role, your work location, you could have incredibly different hours. You can be scheduled way differently. So for example, Magic Kingdom, open the most. Often open until 1 a.m. because of after hour events. And since CPs usually get the worst of the worst, nobody who works there full-time wants to be working until 1 a.m., so most college program people will get these late shifts. So if you're working a full closing shift in, like, attractions, merchandise, custodial, you'll probably be working until 2 a.m. because you usually work an hour after park close. So this means that you won't get home until, like, 2:30 or 3 a.m. in the morning, depending on where your location is versus where your apartment is versus if you're taking the bus and when the buses show up. So, like, you have to keep that in mind. Because if you get a place in Epcot, Epcot closes like at 9 or 10. So the latest you'd be getting off is like 11. And like 11 versus 2 a.m., that is a crazy difference. So like if you tell your, you know, recruiter in the phone interview that you love Magic Kingdom and you just want to work in Magic Kingdom so bad, but you also are like a morning person and don't like staying up until 2 a.m., it just might not work for you. Epcot might be a better choice because you aren't going to be working as late. They literally cannot schedule later because the park closes. So keep that in mind. The other two parks, Hollywood Studios and Animal Kingdom, don't have their opening and closing schedules right next to me, but you can just look them up. And then cast members usually work an hour after close, and I'm guessing an hour before open, but I also don't know that for sure either. Another thing. So the different parks and different locations and different roles do breaks and lunches differently. The custodian that I was talking about in Epcot, she got breaks every 2 hours, and she also got a sheet that had all of her breaks laid out so she knew exactly when they were coming, which sounds great. But I've also watched videos for people who got less breaks, didn't know when their breaks were coming, or they were just kind of randomized, you know? Also, the location of the break room is different depending on your location. And a lot of times for people, the break room can be like a 5-minute walk through the tunnels from where you're working. So keep that in mind. There's really no way to, like, avoid that. Like, your location, you're just going to get stuck maybe walking to your break room. But that's just something interesting that I thought about in terms of how, you know, your days go. Like, if you have to walk to the break room, and so half of your break is just walking to the break room, like, that would kind of suck. Also, this isn't something I knew until I did all of this research into the roles, but Disney works on military time. So that means instead of going from noon to 1 p.m. in the afternoon, they start at 0 and they go to 24. So 1 a.m. would be 1, and 1 p.m. would be 13, and 10 p.m. would be 2200. Yeah, it's weird. So an easy way to calculate this is if the number in front is over 12, then you simply subtract 12 from that number. So say it's 18:30, you would subtract 12 from the 18, which is 6. So that means 18:30 is actually 6:30 p.m., you know? And if it was 6:30 in the morning, it would be 6:30, 0600. And if it's 18:30, then it's in the afternoon. So that stops them from getting confused a.m. and p.m., and that's why the military uses it, and I'm guessing that's why Disney chooses to use it. A lot of people who are future cast members who are preparing for their DCP and they're accepted, or alumni, they have their phone set for military time, and then you can become accustomed to reading it and understanding what the times mean before you go. I would really recommend that. I think if I get accepted, I will do that. I just didn't know until yesterday that that's the case. Also, one thing that I didn't think about until this alumni talked about it, is I watched a international alumni who worked at the Haunted Mansion at, I think it was Disney World, and he talked about how important it was to have people, whether they be friends or coworkers or family, to come while you're working and take pictures of you. Not a lot of people think about that, but you're working all the time, but since you're on stage, you can't have your phone, and so you can't ever, you take pictures of yourself. And this guy would, you know, do the spiel in the stretch room and would open the doors and be creepy for guests. That's all super cool, but he doesn't have any photos or videos of him actually doing it because he never had anybody come and take those photos. So that's, I would, if you go and you do it and you look super cute in your costume and you want, you know, the memories, make sure that you get some DCP friends or when your family comes to visit, take some freaking photos so you have that forever. It's important. Okay, so that's what I learned on my venture into the different roles and what I'm most keen on getting. Know that I'm looking specifically at roles for Disneyland, though. So when I was researching roles and picking which ones I wanted most, I was looking at the Disneyland side. If I was looking specifically at Disney World, I would probably have chosen a couple of different roles to be my top. Probably, honestly, probably monorail would be one of my top ones. That'd be really cool. But they don't have that at Disneyland, so bear in mind that I was looking at Disneyland and they have way less variety than Disney World does. Also, again, take everything I say with a grain of salt because it's all secondhand information. And you know, sometimes people lie, you don't know. I don't know. I do think it's an important strategy to have a broad range of role interests on your application to get through. I personally am going to have a lot of things open and interest put in them because I just want to get in so bad. I think if it was a second or a third program or a summer alumni, I would be more picky on what I wanted. But at this point, I just want to get in. So I'm going to be super broad. I have seen a lot of comments on the Facebook pages, though, of alumni who said they got in and they only put interest in three or four roles. And those people are brave. I'm just not brave enough to do that. Because I think if I put my application in and I didn't make it to the Web BI, my thought would be, well, did I put interest in enough roles? You know, like say you put interest in two roles and those are full. Or they don't think you're qualified for those two roles because of what you've listed and they bump you out. Like, that's just too stressful for me. I think what you're going to do is dependent on the individual, you know. If you think you'd be happy with any of the roles or a large amount of the roles, yeah, put interest in them, you know. But here's the main thing. If you don't think you're going to be happy doing a role, don't put interest in it. I have seen so many comments about people who have put low interest on something they didn't want, and that's what they ended up getting. And then they ended up self-terming from the program a couple weeks in because they just hated what they were doing. I would much rather not do the program at all than receive a role, go down there, pay all that money, end up hating it, and then have to quit working at the happiest place on earth because I'm having such an unhappy time. Definitely look into all of the roles that are available. Look at the Disney College Program website and see the different requirements for each of the roles. Watch videos of alumni talking about their experiences. That's how I decided what was best for me. And since we're all different, I think doing research yourself will help you narrow down what your specific interests are. I would personally like working alone. That's why I'm interested in custodial. But some people would hate that. So do your own research. Look at the roles where you would have the most teamwork, you know. Look at roles where you would have the most fun personally. It's up to you. I would love to hear what your role interests are and why you're choosing them. Feel free to comment on any of my Instagram posts. You can find me at DCP Internship Podcast. I would love to hear about them. I will definitely respond to all of you. And if you have any questions about anything I have said, or if you want me to do research on anything, feel free to email me at, it's MichaelaPhillipsDCP@yahoo.com. It is in the show thingamajig, my overview comment. So it's in there. I know it's hard to spell. And I'll answer any of your questions in the next episode. If you enjoy this podcast and think some of your friends might enjoy it, please let them know. I'm just starting out and I plan to document my entire experience with the Disney College Program until I am either rejected or quit or finish the program. So I just want to help as many people as possible through their experience. I know personally that listening to videos and watching people, you know, talk about their experiences has been so helpful for me. And I'm not a very good videographer. Honestly, it's just too much work for me. I'm not about to edit a video, but I am about, you know, look, I rambled on for 50 minutes about roles. So this is the way it's easiest for me to talk to you guys. And if you think that I'm helpful or you think someone would enjoy listening to my wretched voice for this long, let them know. I'm chilling out on pretty much any podcast listening tool, app, thing. Thank you all for listening. I'll be back next week with another podcast about preparing for the upcoming application drop in August. I hope you have the most magical day. And I hope the weather where you're at is not currently melting you like I am being melted. Bye-bye now.